You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Do you know 20 to 30% of women surveyed expressed dissatisfaction or even rejected proposals due to poor execution and lack of thoughtfulness?
Wow, that's bad news for some folks.
Yeah, you know what? But if you feel bad, guys, and you don't think you did a good job with that, listen to this story. So there was this guy. And it's a funny engagement story. Proposes his girlfriend on Skybridge, Michigan Bridge is what it is. So it's this big, long suspension bridge. And he gets down on one knee, and it's high up in the air, and he drops the ring. It fell 118 feet into the snow, that's a big, long drop right there. So he panicked at that point for a minute, and then he said, "We got to go find this ring. We need to find it." So the couple, they search for over 2 hours using metal detectors before the resort night shift snowmaking supervision team got involved. They couldn't find it then, but they found it overnight, thankfully. So they went to bed, thought it was missing, but these guys kept searching. They finally found it under a footprint that was in the snow.
Oh, I wouldn't have given it back. I'd have kept it and sold it, pawned it.
Well, okay.
He said, finders keepers. I have questions. If you're going to do some elaborate proposal that could potentially get you to lose this ring, I have thoughts.
Uh-huh.
You could use a backup ring. Go to like Walmart or something, get a knockoff, and that's the one you propose with and be like, the real one is safe in our travel stuff. Or... tie a string to
That's a good one, yeah, like a yo-yo.
Yes, and if it falls, you're like, whoop, back up.
I mean, if you're going to go high up, you know this bridge is already, you know, 118 feet high.
Yeah.
So that's way up there. And it's a suspension bridge, and it has these little grates in between it. You know, it easily could drop if you, I mean, that was not well thought out.
Yeah, I feel like that to me, I would think the woman would be like, you know, this is probably a sign that you're not a good choice.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Would you imagine if he did all that, dropped the ring, and she went, well, you know, this kind of works out because I was going to say no anyway. And he's just sitting there, poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, Cato's going to steal it.
Well, no.
Tori and I think the guy's a bozo.
No.
I don't think that. I just think he could have, you know, made sure to not lose the ring.
Would you have been like, if John did this, would you have been like, oh, wow, what am I getting into here?
I'd have been like, honey, we're about to go get a metal detector.
Yeah.
We're finding that ring.
My brother, he lost his wedding ring in the ocean on his honeymoon.
Oh.
Yeah. It fell off in the ocean.
That makes sense, though, because it's slippery, and if it didn't fit well.
Didn't you lose yours for a while, Tom?
I lost mine forever, but it's because I lost weight. I got diabetes, and then my ring kept getting looser and looser, and I bought one of those little things that's supposed to keep it from sliding off, but it didn't work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe you should tie a string to your wedding ring on your finger.
Totally different situation. I didn't go up on a snowy bridge that wobbles back and forth and hold the ring out and go, here.
See, I don't think he's an idiot or...
Really?
Dumb for, no, I don't.
I do.
It was an accident. He's trying to...
Right.
But if you see the pictures, it's snowing. They're in the windy snow, and he takes a ring out on a bridge that swings back and forth.
That's true.
And bends down and holds it, and it didn't cross his mind, this is a bad idea?
Yeah. Well, he said he was nervous when he went to get the ring out of the box is why he dropped it.
Yeah, he did. But what he should have done is said, hey, you know what, let's go up on the bridge. I got a question to ask you. And then let him ask the question up there, keep the ring in his pocket. It's like, let's go back down now, and I'll put the ring on your finger.
Yeah, or even just keep it in the box, open the box, and when she goes to put it on, be like, no, not here. Let's get off the bridge first.
Or just do it in front of the fireplace down in the lobby of the place.
Now, I'd have preferred that.
You know, like, hey.
Where everybody can see and clap for you, and that's a big moment.
Yes.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
A lot of people are saying that there is a trend right now for people to go back to the 90s. The 90s are considered to be one of the great decades by people in today's time. And there's a lot of things that are getting popular. A lot of the clothing is coming back. A lot of the stuff like my daughter is very into getting actual physical media, like books instead of digital, CDs instead of a MP3, or a DVD instead of just downloading a movie.
So you can no longer make fun of me for my VHS and my VCR.
They didn't go back to VHS, Kato. They didn't go that far back.
You cannot make fun.
Yeah, and you can.
You can't make fun of me in my MC Hammer pants. those big like genie pants that they would wear.
I don't know if they've gone that far or not, but they say that there's a lot of things that were socially acceptable in the 90s that are no longer socially acceptable today, and it's kind of interesting, some of the things they brought up.
All right.
For example, it's no longer socially acceptable to show at someone's house unannounced to hang out. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, people were happy if you stopped by. They're like, oh my gosh, it's so great to have you here. But that's because they didn't have as many ways to get in touch with you back then. Mm-hmm. They didn't see you as often. And so, you know, they didn't have a text that they could just chat real quick with you. Yeah. They were excited to see you.
Makes sense.
All right. Not being reachable at all times. Back in the days, in the 90s, if someone wasn't home, you just went somewhere else. If they were on the phone, you got a busy signal, and you called back later. If they didn't answer the phone, there's a chance you might not even have been able to leave a message. It's probable that they had an answering machine at that point, but it was very likely that you could just be sitting there as they listened to you while you left that message.
There was nothing worse than knowing a boy was going to call you at a specific time and your sister was on the phone. You're like, Ashley, hang up the phone. He's supposed to call.
Or even missing that phone call.
I know. Yeah. Like, see, there he goes. Another love lost thanks to Ashley.
In the 90s, it was acceptable to leave your kids in the car when you went grocery shopping as long as it wasn't hot outside.
Yeah.
So if you had like an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, you could run in the store, leave them playing in the car, and no one looked at you weird.
Wow. I think it's still okay for that age, right?
I don't know. These days, people will think, oh my gosh, your kids are going to get kidnapped. What are you thinking?
Well, I think they're old enough to not go with strangers and
not willingly.
Yeah,
I don't know. People look at you weird now.
If they kidnap one of mine, they just bring them back in 15 minutes.
Smoking in restaurants was considered acceptable. Yeah. Even Burger King had smoking sections.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. McDonald's used to have those little ashtrays.
Right.
You remember those?
The Mac ashtray.
Yeah. The Mac ashtray.
Things that were acceptable in the 90s that aren't now, babysitting at age 10. My wife used to babysit newborns when she was like 12 or 11, and it was considered normal.
Now, I was 11.
All the babysitters now have got to be, you know, you bring them in for an interview, you talk about them, see their rating and all that stuff.
Background check.
Yeah.
They got a resume. All right, another thing along those lines is having no idea where your kids were during the day.
Yeah.
They literally had PSAs on TV that said, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are?
10 o'clock seems late to be checking in on them.
I agree.
Well, that's what we think now. But back then, they were like, hey, it's 10, you might ought to check and see.
Mm-hmm. What's getting cool, though, you got Live 360 or whatever now. And so if your kid's out and about playing with the neighbors, because mine will do that every once in a while, you can see where they are in the neighborhood.
That's pretty cool.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. No, never mind.
Making plans with someone multiple days in advance, then not talking to them about it again and showing up without having confirmed the plans were still on.
Yeah.
I'd be there.
Yeah.
I don't trust my friends to be there.
But back then, you would be like, hey, I'm going to see you on Tuesday. We'll do this. And then on Tuesday, you just showed up. You didn't like text or call and go, hey, we still on. It just happened.
It's like Tuesday, we can meet at the mall at 8 o'clock and everybody'd show up.
That's wild because coming Tuesday, I'm like, well, ain't nobody text. So I'm assuming these plans are canceled.
Right.
I'm staying home.
Yeah, that's changed so quickly, though.
Yeah.
And this was an interesting trend in the 90s, mooning people.
Yeah.
It was a common prank back then, and people just accepted it. Now you'll probably get arrested.
Mm-hmm. Nothing was more terrifying than getting behind a school bus. because you're like, here it comes. Yeah. One of them's going to moon us.
Well, and nowadays the pants go so low for some of those people. I mean, they just walk around and you can see their underwear.
Right. The when I was in high school, I skipped school one day with two of my friends. We're in my dad's pickup truck. And as we're driving along this road on the river, we see a bunch of school kids out there in high school. And we're like, what are these people doing? We recognize a couple of them. So we all sat up in the seat, dropped our trousers, and stuck our butt cheeks on the back window of that pickup truck. It was the photography club. There were so many pictures of us in this pickup truck with our butts up against the window. I was actually at a party at someone's house that I did not know, and I went in their bathroom, and that picture was hanging above the commode.
It's appropriate.
That was very a learning experience for us.
I think it's still fun to do that. Just do it in traffic. Like, if you're a passenger, not the driver.
That's the only problem is, like Hawk was saying, you'd probably get arrested now. Yeah. People would be like, oh, my gosh, that's assault or something.
And if Tom did, I'm like, I recognize that one.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Everyday things you may not know cause a pain.
Oh, yeah. When you say a pain.
Or a pain, just pain in general, like neck pain, you know, just physical pain.
Okay.
All right.
Pain in my butt.
Okay. Co-workers were not mentioned.
Oh.
So your computer screen, that can cause pain. Spending too much time sitting in front of your computer screen can lead to more, a high score on your video game, but it can also affect you in other ways, like more back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, all the pains you can imagine because you're sitting there on your computer all day long at work.
And emails from work also cause head pain.
Yeah. They say adjust your computer or a TV screen so that it can be just below eye level. That will help your neck pain and any of that, like, you know.
For me, it's on my phone. Well, just being on my phone looking down, I feel like my neck's going to get stuck in the down position.
Well, that is also mentioned, your phone, your text neck that you're getting.
Text neck.
Yeah. So you can avoid, text neck pain by lifting your phone to eye level rather than holding it down and hunched over your phone all the time.
But then my arm's going to get sore.
It's heavy.
I will say, Cato and I were talking about this the other day, because I hold my phone or I scroll with my thumb on my left hand, and I've got like this pain in my forearm that won't go away. I mean, I'm borrowing my mom's Bengay to put on my forearm because I'm scrolling with my thumb so much.
You know what? There's a tennis elbow. Eventually, there's going to be like a scrolling thumb, and they're going to give us a little splint for it, I bet.
It's probably carpal tunnel syndrome, like you used to get from typing. Oh.
So you hold your phone in your left hand?
Yeah.
You scroll?
Well, sometimes I hold it with both, but I scroll with my thumb, my left thumb.
See, I'm scrolling my right hand.
Okay.
That's how I do it.
Okay, so now some people hold it like my, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. They'll hold it and use their pointer finger on the right hand and hold it with the left, or vice versa.
When my arm gets tired, I have to do that.
Sometimes when I'm out like at a restaurant and the people behind me are talking about how they hold their phone, I'll try to listen in because it's so exciting.
But you know that feeling though on your forearm.
Yeah.
Your car seat, that is an everyday thing that is causing you pain. You know, you got those long stretches where you have to drive for a long way. Do you ever, like, you know, poke your butt up and, you know, stretch all the way out like you're standing up in your car to stretch your legs and you're still driving?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like you do it and you're like, oh, I feel like I just got my first full breath since I got in the car. Yeah.
But don't you speed up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your foot goes down on the gas.
Hits the gas a little bit right
there.
This
explains a lot about what I see when I travel.
Yeah, absolutely. But your car seat can affect you. And you know, you got your car seat warmers now. If you don't have one of those, that will help on the long drives. Even I use mine every morning on the cold mornings.
Cold mornings. I've been using it since October.
But they need to have it where it can be, because mine is the whole seat heats up. Yeah. I don't need the booty one. I just need the back one.
Oh, I want the butt. Yeah, I want the butt.
I don't like the booty. That's too much.
It's a seat warmer. That's what it's called. A seat. That's for your seat.
It's not where I need it warm. I need it warm on my
and
back.
The new cars obviously it's like massage chairs. Because, you know, you can adjust them and they poke you back out a little bit too far and someone gets in there or you accidentally reach down and you hit it, and now you've readjusted your seat, and you can't get it back in the order?
And my friend has an Explorer, and if you veer too far, it'll start vibrating the seat.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Oh, my goodness. I about wrecked. I was like, this is like a massage chair. Yeah. This is nice. I'm swerving, trying to get the vibration.
I'm afraid to drive home now.
I know.
Fair.
Your shoes, that is an everyday thing that's causing pain, especially you ladies. We've talked about that before here on the Hawk and Tom Show. High heels, anything like that. Something might be pinching your toes, and that's one of the first things that comes off when you walk through the door at home after a long day's work.
That's not the only thing.
Okay, I'll add that one to the list. Bra is the everyday thing that's causing pain.
Yeah, okay.
For the ladies, also your purse. Because you got it on your shoulder, you're walking around all the time, maybe while you're shopping.
And you know what? I've tried to switch it to the other shoulder, and I was like, ooh, this is not.
It feels weird, don't it?
It is. It's like like someone's just trying to bring you down. I don't know. You got to keep it on the same side, but then you're lopsided.
They say, make sure that your purse weighs no more than 5 pounds.
Lols.
Yeah.
I was with my mom last week, and she goes, here, hold my purse. I'm going to run and use the restroom. Yeah. That purse weighed 50 pounds. I'm like, what do you have in here? Everything?
Yeah.
Yes, because no doubt at some point y'all be like, Mom, do you have this? Do you have that? And guess what? Her answer is always yes.
Yeah. You have a pair of jumper cables in there.
She got a spare tire.
Yeah. You need a purse stroller is what you need. Just have.
Got my kid on my hip and my purse in the stroller.
Yeah. And then last thing they say, it's for the guys, everyday things that cause pain. Your wallet. You carry your wallet stuffed with credit cards, bank cards, all kinds of cards in there. You got whatever. And they say that, you know, it makes you uneven. You're tilting over sometimes if your wallet's too big.
John told me the other day, he said, my butt cheek hurts. I said, why? And he said, I think it's because I always got my wallet on that side.
Exactly.
Well, they came out with that a while back about how it could hurt your back sitting in a car.
It twists you a little bit, too.
I quit using the back wallet. I use the front wallet.
Well, okay. You got your wallet in your front pocket?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
It just seems different.
I know a lot of people that do this.
Okay, I don't.
Well, listen to this. The things that resonated with me is the car and the wallet, and the two together is really bad. But what I've found is the worst is, like, when I'm driving a long distance, my butt cheeks will literally get sore. And I think it's because I got diabetes. I've lost some weight. I don't have as much fat back there.
Oh.
I'm really looking at getting one of those donut things.
Yeah, for like the old people have?
Yeah. Or maybe like the cab drivers, those beads. You know, they have the, if you go to New York City, they must do something. Those guys, all the New York cabbies have those beads that go down the seat.
I thought that was a fashion choice.
I think it was a comfort thing, but if that was a fashion choice, it was a bad choice.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Having fun looking back at some of our funniest moments of 2025.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, it's Crank Call Thursday. This is where Thelma actually called the memory foam pillow place because her memory foam pillow was not working.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she couldn't remember a thing.
Thank you for calling the Bed Mattress Company. Please listen carefully as our menu options have changed. For hours and directions to our factory direct location, press 1.
Customer service, this is Adrian. How may I help you?
Yes, hello there. My name's Thelma Hollister, H-O-A-L-I-S-T-E-R. I am the grandmother of 13 lovely grandchildren.
Well, that's great. What can I do for you?
Well, I like to brag on them when I can, but the reason I'm calling you today is I purchased one of your memory foam pillows. And it just blows me away. Just the technology now that they have is simply amazing. But anyway, I bought one of your memory foam pillows, and I'm not sure how it works because there wasn't a lot of instructions with the pillow when I bought it. But I might be using mine wrong, and that's why I'm calling you today.
Well, I mean, a memory foam pillow, you just use as you would a normal pillow, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. The care is a little bit different. Like, you can't throw them in the washing machine. Like the heat of your head and neck, you know, you would sleep however you would normally sleep, will help mold the pillow to fit exactly the shape of your body.
Okay. So, yeah. And I'm guessing the heat's what helps the memory part of that. But here's what happened to me, and this is what shocked me, because I actually tried my memory foam pillow last night. And, for example, here's what I did. My friend Ella Mae Jenkins, she lives right here or close by, and she's one of my best friends. We go to church together and play bingo. But anyway, she got a new phone number. And so I decided to try it out. I didn't even write down her phone number last night. And I slept on the memory foam pillow. And guess what happened?
What happened?
I woke up this morning and I have plumb forgot her phone number. So I was kind of confused. Because I thought that it would remind me of her phone number, and that's why I'm calling you today. And apparently, I've got a defective memory phone pillow.
So the word memory in the title doesn't, like, go back to your actual memory. The foam itself remembers the shape of your body, which is why it's called memory foam. It's not supposed to actually help you remember things.
Yeah. The memory, it's called memory foam, and the foam actually improves your memory.
No, that's not how it works. It's called memory foam because the foam remembers the shape of your body. Does that make sense? I could understand why you would think that. Like, you remind me of my grandmother. I feel like I've had this conversation with my grandma.
So sweet. What's your grandmother's name?
Linda.
Linda. What do you call her?
Granny.
Granny. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, what was the reason I was calling you?
You were calling about the memory foam pillows.
Right. Okay. Well, there we go. It didn't work again. See? I have a defective memory foam pillow, I think, dear.
It's not actually defective. I'm sorry if they didn't explain it to you properly when you bought it. But they're not intended to help your memory.
Yeah, that's apparent.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about that. Yeah,
that's fine, dear. So you're saying the weight of your head, it contours to the pillow.
Yes.
And that's why it's called memory foam.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
Because I was going to try it out again. I had a list, my grocery list last night. I didn't write that down, and I don't know what I'm going to buy at the grocery store now. Do you remember what I wrote down?
I mean, I would have no way to know. If you want to improve your memory, I think there are games online you can play. I don't know if you have the internet.
I have the internet. That's how I bought. Yeah. That's actually how I bought my memory foam pillow, I think. Have you ever had anybody call about the memory foam before?
Not with this particular question.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. All right. You've been a great help. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm glad.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
You need to call her back and tell her you forgot.
You think so?
Yeah.
I can try. Oh, wow. I can see.
Are you doing it?
Here we go.
Thank you for calling the Bed Mattress Company. Please listen carefully as our menu options have changed.
Customer
Customer service. This is Adrian. How may I help you?
Yes. Hello there. My name is Thelma Hollister, H-O-L-I-S-T-E-O. And I'm calling because I think I have a defective memory foam pillow. Why are you laughing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You just called here. I just spoke to you like 2 minutes ago, if that.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking this memory foam pillow does not work, dear.
Do you remember that?
That's funny. Yeah, I remember now. I'm so sorry to bother you today, dear. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye now.
You have a good one.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, my
God. You think you get away with it again?
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.